You're listening to Pod of Wonder, the podcast that creates a world using random Wikipedia articles and then plays a game in that world. This season, we're making a magical apartment building where tropes come to life.
I'm under a cat, so if anybody happens to be near a die, so we can roll on this chart.
Yeah, one second.
Still, we'll do a formal introduction and everything, but yeah, so that it's not a complete surprise once we. I mean, we're already recording, but
yeah, but so it's like,
but we're just gonna cut it.
Yeah,
or we could include all of this.
I mean, probably not.
Yeah,
like reading out the entire list. I don't think we need to do that because that will prevent us from changing it later if we want to.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
We know there is a list in place. The listeners know there's a list in place.
Yes.
Let's make things official first, and welcome to Pod of Wonder.
Woo!
Season 7, we're creating a magical apartment complex, the Chamber Heights on the park at Sweet Burble Waters.
That's what I forgot.
A mysterious place where all the residents kind of morph into different character archetypes as they spend time in these respective rooms. Like each room is an archetype, and like the people who move in there become that kind of archetype of character. I am Danny. Any pronouns are fine. Take a pronoun, leave a pronoun, jar of a person.
I didn't want to interrupt. Okay.
Surprise me.
All right. Fuck. Starting over. All right. I'm Morgan, and my pronouns are they or he.
I'm Maria, and I always get nervous at this part because I can't decide what I want to say my pronouns are.
They can change. It's allowed.
Yeah.
I'm Mike. Any pronouns are fine here, too. Don't have the pronoun jar. I guess that's Danny's house.
Yeah, I'm hoarding it. Yeah, and we have a list of character archetypes, and each episode we're going to roll on a die and use that item from the list, and we'll make a person with the power of random Wikipedia articles. Pew, pew. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, we've been doing this podcast for years. It doesn't get any easier or more pleasant to explain.
Okay, I don't know what's wrong with me. I think
out of wonder.
Do you want me to roll it again for audio effect?
Yeah, get that good clanky sound effect.
Oh, that was terrible. Let me do it again. Why do you keep doing that? Here, whoa. Okay.
We can't roll on the die. It's gone.
Roll a 20 for the sound effect, but we'll use the 8 because.
Okay.
Yeah.
The 20 is a better sonic-y dice rolling noise.
Yeah.
That was good. I like that.
All right. You have the actual D8?
I do.
Okay.
I rolled number 2.
A grumpy old man who's lived in the apartment forever.
Oh, yes. Wikipedia time.
Yes. Wikipedia time.
Good job, me.
Oh, nope. Confederate.
Yeah, definitely. Let's not.
Hello. Yes, this person. Yes. Okay. Excited.
I don't know what to do with this one, but I do like it.
I mean, he could be a mathematician. Grumpy old man probably is a mathematician. That sounds right. Sounds tropey.
Mine's fine. I've got an okay one.
Uh-huh.
I tried like re-rolling and it was just like not giving me anything better. So I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I very much like this because it's almost impossible for me to parse what it's even talking about.
Those can be fun. Yeah. Well, since you have your article, why don't you introduce us to it as much as you can usually just reading the first paragraph is enough.
Well, in mathematics, a fence is also called a zigzag posset. It's a partially ordered set in which the order relations form a path with alternating orientations. So it appears to be numbers that just bounce back and forth.
There's something about the Fibonacci sequence in there too, doesn't it?
It can be a finite fence, or it can be formed of an infinite alternating sequence, extending in both directions.
The metaphorical fence he builds around his heart.
It is the fence that he builds around his heart, and the fence moves in both directions, both forward and backward. So it's aspirational grumpiness, but also grumpiness which is formed out of memories moving backwards as to the joy of the grumpiness that came before.
Anyway, we only have to pick one, right?
I don't know, man. Yeah,
I don't. I don't think this is the one.
I'll introduce mine, which it's weird, but I understand what's happening.
Yeah, that's probably better.
So Marjorie Cameron was an American artist, poet, actress, and occultist. She was married to rocket pioneer Jack Parsons and was a member of Aleister Crowley's sex cult.
Oh.
Mm.
Basically part of the 1950s, like, avant-garde art scene. She lived around Joshua Tree and Santa Fe. Yeah, I mean, it's up to us how much we want to explore the sex cult stuff, but it's just like a weird kind of artist lady.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And just went by the mononame Cameron, the Madonna of her day, I suppose. Morgan, what's your article?
Okay, well, mine is William Eddy, E-T-T-Y, not E-D-D-I-E, because Philadelphia accent. He was an English artist best known for his history paintings containing nude figures. He was born in March of 1787. He earned respect at the Royal Academy of Arts for his ability to paint realistic flesh tones, but had little commercial or critical success in his first years in London. He never married. He was super, super shy. And he lived with his niece in his later life. His niece's name was Betsy.
Maria, you have an article for us.
Wait, did I don't have an article.
All right. I mean, if you want to treat you and Mike as a joint article unit.
I mean, we totally failed anyway.
It's a strong commitment to make, I understand.
Of doing it. Look, I got another math article.
Ooh,
oh, good. Fluid dynamics through porous media. The Darcy number represents the relative effect of the permeability of the medium versus its cross-sectional area.
Yeah.
Oh, it's named after Henry Darcy. That could be, yeah.
Notably permeable literary character.
Yeah, exactly. This number should not be confused with the Darcy friction factor, which appears to pressure drop in a pipe. I don't know. I kind of like the idea of a grumpy old mathematician or engineer, maybe somebody who is integral in building some of the, I don't know, levees or I don't know what the things in a water world they have. But and he just sits in his apartment and it's all covered. All the walls are covered in computations and he probably never bathes. That's what I'm pitching.
I kind of like Morgan's article for the idea of like a reclusive artist who like maybe was ahead of his time back in the day, but like never saw the success that he deserved and is just sort of like lives alone in his apartment surrounded by great works of art that nobody's going to see until the weird smell starts coming out from behind the door.
Perfect. I like that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely like it more as like that kind of like unsuccessful artist. Cause this guy actually apparently was like really successful later, but yeah, I like the idea better of like,
yeah, at least extremely shy, like doesn't go out much. Yeah. A grumpy old man based on William Eddy.
slovenly in attire, short and awkward in body, large head, large hands, large feet, face marked with smallpox. Wow. God, this poor thing.
They're like really, they're like really shitting on his looks. God damn. Yeah. Like, and it's like, oh, okay, the picture on the side is like self-portrait. This was painted when he was trying to advertise himself as a young and successful artist and bears little resemblance to his real appearance. Oh, thank God. Right. He was catfishing.
Oh, good. Is the next thing down from 1844, is that actually a photograph?
Yeah. That's William's creepy. On the right.
Yeah, that is creepy as all get out, because what's happening in between those two male figures? There's that little cantaloupe of horror in between them.
Cantaloupe of horror.
Don't you see the cantaloupe of horror right there?
I didn't.
No. Okay. What cantaloupe?
It looked like there were three human figures and then some other sort of like horrifying orb.
Looks more like dust, but.
Fair enough.
Photo quality aside, I don't think he's that bad looking.
Yeah, I mean, he just looks like, I don't know, a dude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Imagine just like being forever memorialized on Wikipedia as extremely unattractive.
I like how there is this subsection on Betsy Eddy, and Betsy herself does not appear until the third paragraph.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
And followed by the article going out of its way, perhaps, to say that he did not have sex with her.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I was like,
I mean, although granted, that's the first thing that came to my head when I don't know why. I guess because I've watched too many movies.
I mean, also like back then there was weird relationship boundaries there.
I mean, it's good that it got said, I guess. Like, I mean, for the sake of like not leaving potentially unsavory aspects of a historical figure completely out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does kind of come as a surprise. Like, Betsy doesn't even get her own article. She's in the middle section of this and is kind of defined in the longest paragraph in her subsection by they didn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm fine kind of just starting up the next section. Like,
yeah, let's just wing it.
Like, the opening kind of paragraphs are all I need.
It's kind of all I wind up going with anyway. It's yeah. Just like, okay, this is a start.
Yeah, I'm not reading all of this. I was looking to see how much further there was, and there's quite a bit.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it goes on. Yeah, so it's the first time we're doing this season, so for the listener's benefit as well as Mike's. This is the proper world-building portion of our podcast. There's a 15-minute timer with the option of a 3-minute extension if we really get into it. But that's how much time we have to come up with this guy. And whoever is the last person speaking when the timer goes off, that person ends up in the hot seat, and they will leave the room for a little bit. We will come up with a character for them, and they will answer questions as that character. And it's just a 3-minute little section of role-playing / world-building additional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where most of the weird stuff happens.
True.
Yeah.
So 15 minutes are on the clock. I guess, Morgan, this is your article, so if you want to lead us off.
Oh, okay.
15 minutes starting now.
Okay, cool. William Eddy. I forgot what his first name was. Yeah, so I think, you know, we're making this grumpy old guy who has been there forever. Figure he's pretty shy and kind of weird, keeps to himself a lot. Not like, definitely grumpy, but like not a horrible person.
Mm-hmm. Like he's not like shouting at the kids running through the halls necessarily, but
yeah,
but probably a lot of like passive aggressive maybe.
Absolutely. Like, you know, sometimes he'll sit out on, his balcony or something, or something like, maybe they're like, each of the apartments has like a little balcony overlooking like the courtyard or whatever. Just like a little tiny one. And maybe he just like kind of sometimes sits out there on like a folding chair with like a blanket on his lap and just like kind of like scowls around a lot.
You think he sketches while he's out there? Does he still do?
I think he sketches. I think it's like, I figure if he, like, since he lives alone and doesn't like to go out or, you know, be around other people very much, I figure he's probably in I figure he's probably in pretty good health, more or less. And, you know, so he's still got all his functioning capacity in terms of sketching and being relatively independent.
I kind of had an idea. Maybe he, sort of skulks through the halls sometimes and like shakes his fist at the, you know, whatever, you know, silly, like bland art would be up in the, you know, the hallway of an apartment building. Maybe he changes them out sometimes without permission.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh, yeah. Or like maybe like tilts them to be like kind of crooked in the hallways.
Right.
Yeah, I like the idea of him like replacing the art subtly. Mm-hmm. Like that's a very like passive aggressive thing. And at the same time, like a lot of like grumpy old characters in stories have like a secret heart of gold. So like he replaces these kind of things with like his own art, which is like probably actually worth like tens of thousands of dollars. And just like chucks the generic, inoffensive, like lobby art somewhere.
Yeah. Right.
Or even like take, like maybe paints little, like almost so you can't see them, but if you looked up real close, like sort of strange things happening in the background. Or like somebody hiding behind a tree.
Yeah.
Are some of these drawings sort of surreptitiously, if he's sketching out on his balcony or whatnot, are these sort of surreptitious sketches or very nice life drawings of other people who are actually living here? Is this the kind of thing where the art might be replaced with possibly creepy, but also very strangely flattering pictures of actual people who are living here? Possibly the corporate art, which is nearest to their door every once in a while, is just a very nice drawing of the residents by that door.
I think maybe that's something we should delve into a little bit, because William Eddy like was most famous slash controversial for his nude drawings. And
yeah.
Like if you're like surreptitiously like painting a nude portrait of somebody in your apartment building, like that gives a weird vibe.
Yeah, that does.
Like maybe like what is something like else that we could make controversial in our world for our William to draw or paint?
I mean, we could take it away from like that he's painting like nudes of them or like hanging up nudes, but maybe like he's using, maybe instead of like nudes, he's just like people. I don't, never mind.
Or like what if he adds like fish characteristics to him or something? Or
yeah, like something like that.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Make him fish people.
Right. So it's not like a caricature, but something more artistic than that,
which
will be harkening back to actual folks living here in some kind of abstractish way.
Yeah, like you can tell it's the person that he painted, and like there's definitely talent behind it and like traditional artistic merit, but at the same time, like the person who's depicted in the painting might be like, that's a little fucked up. like I did not consent to being drawn as this like weird fish monster. Right. Or even like beyond like issues of like, did they get permission or not? There's just something about the picture that kind of repels them in maybe like in a weird Dorian Gray kind of way.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, like ooh. He paints the inner ugliness.
Ooh. Also, yeah. Maybe the pictures that he hangs up by these like residence doors aren't actually like those exact residents, but like a different version of that archetype. Mm-hmm. So it's like just close enough that it makes them uncomfortable and be like, ah, wait, is that me? No. Oh, ah. Like it's a double take of like, wait, that's me. And then like, wait, yeah. No, it's not. But it's like really, really similar to me. What's that? Like,
yeah.
That can add a weird element to it.
He's painting. Yeah. He's painting the archetype. Mm-hmm. And like the person the
one who was there before or who is coming next or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And like, because people are like falling into these archetypes, there's always some kind of like similarity, like maybe not like even physically like obvious things, but like the person sees themselves in the painting and thinks like, or it makes them feel a little uncomfortable
yeah.
for some reason they can't explain.
But it's not quite close enough that they feel comfortable bringing it up.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, that's definitely not me. Like, why did I think that? And then like, they're just unsettled.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting for like the old man who's been there forever to be our first person, because he's, he's been kind of living under this like archetype building situation the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And like, maybe part of like the reason for his grumpiness is he's, like maybe semi-aware of what's happening. Like he's mm-hmm. kind of struggled to not be the grumpy old man and like become an artistic success in his own right, but feels the building is, or like he feels held back somehow and maybe doesn't quite make the connection that it is the building and this mm-hmm. magic that's the problem. But like he knows he should be more successful and renowned than he is. And just can't think of a reason why he just hasn't made it when he yeah. clearly has the talent.
If he's been there forever, does that mean he's the one who doesn't ever change out, or is that too?
I think like because the archetype is specifically an old person, like he's seen the people coming and going and like conforming the longest. So like by nature, like his archetype involves being around for a long time and seeing things and being upset by things.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that he doesn't change out at some point. It's just a right. longer cycle.
Yeah. Cause like this guy, cause like William Eddie, he died when he was 62. So maybe like, he moved in there when he was 62 and like now it might be like 30 years later and he's like 92 mm-hmm. or whatever. Like, so he's like still like older. Like because it doesn't have to be like an elderly man, like just like an right. old man, which like can be like 60 is an older,
mm-hmm.
which feels very weird saying that. Cause like my dad's in his 60s. I'm like, an yeah. old man, what?
I know. Right.
But I'm like, okay, no, wait.
Yeah. Something else I kind of want to explore is like, what does the inside of each person's apartment look like? So like, what does this, we'll just keep calling him William. What does his apartment look like?
I guess, I mean, maybe covered in easels and art supplies and drop cloths and just painting stacked up against the walls. Maybe actually, I was thinking like sketching on the walls, maybe a little bit.
Ooh, yeah.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's that triclinium or something like that? If you were going to be painting someone coming over to be your live person that you're painting,
model.
Model for here. But that sort of couch that one might use to have the model recline in such a way that they're paintable. It's not being used for that anymore. Maybe it's just being used as the piece of furniture in the apartment.
Yeah, there's probably a stack of dirty plates on it or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'm seeing a couple of, like, reclining couch kind of pictures in this article. Like, a lot of reclining people, a lot of stretched out people.
Right.
That's probably the only clean place in his apartment is, like, the staging area for his model. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it is just sort of, like, you know, like you said, covered in drop cloths and, clutter. Like, easels and, yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like it wouldn't be, like, necessarily, like, dirty or anything, but it just, like, very cluttered. Like, there's mm-hmm. not, like, he probably does his dishes just to have availability, but, like, there's also definitely, like, cups of, like, muddy paint water sitting around and stuff. Like, and, like, old plates that he repurposed as, like, palettes. Right. And, like, stuff like that. Like, there's no, like, food mess around, but there's definitely, like, art mess around. And uh-huh. I'd say also, like, maybe there's, like, just, like, these canvases kind of just, like, leaned up against the wall of, like, various sizes, and they've all, like, been painted on, and then, like, there's, like, at least one easel where it's, like, there is, like, a finished painting sitting on that easel, but, like, he's like, reusing that canvas and, like, painting over it like a lot of artists do.
Perfect.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
What is the...
Ooh, that's almost like in the building. They painted... The canvases are painted over again.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, absolutely.
No, I like it.
What does the lighting look like in this place? Not like natural light through windows, but at night, how would the illumination work in this apartment?
Hmm. I don't know. I think... I mean, we've described, like, magic is, like, exists in the world kind of outside of this building. So maybe there just can be, like, a magic utility service to, like, pump in magic to light up magic lights.
Yeah. Mm. And, like, maybe he just, like, likes to adjust the light depending on what he needs. Because, like, sometimes he'll probably need to have, like, reference items to make sure he's getting a shadow right or something. Mm. And, like, so, like, he can, like, do something with the light to, like, make it hit in a certain, like, strength or whatever. Maybe, like, the light is always just kind of perfect for what he needs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Does it happen automatic, or is there, like, a weird little control panel or something?
I feel like maybe kind of automatic. It's almost, like, coincidental. Like, oh, neat. This is, like, perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got a bunch of, like, standing lamps around and everything like that, but, like, they just happen to always be in the exact perfect arrangement that he needs them in.
Yeah, like, because we said the building kind of allows for, like, different flavors of archetype, so, like, mm-hmm. it can kind of, like, give him the magically always have the light he needs.
Yeah.
Ooh, one thing I stumbled across is, like, Eddie had a belief that the purpose of art is to illustrate moral lessons. What moral lesson do you think he's teaching or, like, wants his art to convey?
Ooh.
Hmm. Oh.
So if no one was talking.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on do we want to do a 3-minute extension?
What, to answer that question?
Ooh, maybe it could be that could be answered in the hot seat round.
Yeah, okay. So unless we count Morgan's O, I was the last person speaking.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
I'll fall on the sword for the first hot seat.
All right.
Yeah, so the hot seat format is you decide who I am, and I guess you come up with questions to ask me. And if you want, you can kind of decide who you are. And my headphones are coming off now, so bye.
So who's Danny? William or Betsy, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like it would character. Be interesting to have him be Betsy, or, you know, his niece that, like, comes to check on him every now and then to make sure he's doing okay. You know, like,
that sounds good.
Not so much of a, like, actual helping out, but she just kind of, like, pokes her head in, like, once or twice a month or so, just to make sure he's still, like, still getting by all right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's still 62, just like he was last year.
Yeah, just, like, coming by to check up on him and say hi and make sure he's doing okay. And, you know, because it's been, like, he's been living here for, like, 30 years, and now he's in his 90s, and, like, you know, probably, you know, making sure he hasn't, like, slipped and fell or something.
Right. Because the life alert bracelet has not yet been invented in this world.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't really like to talk to people, but he'll, like, converse with her, you know?
Right.
He acts grumpy, but he, you know, oh, this is nice. He's happy to see her, but he grumbles about it.
Right. An old man style.
Yeah. Like, why are you coming over to check on me? I'm just fine. You know, that kind of stuff. And, like, she'll, like, ask about the paintings and, like...
So what if we're her neighbors and she's, like, chatting to them about her uncle or whatever?
Yeah, I like that idea a lot. Like, maybe we're, like, the neighborhood, like, book club or something.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Okay.
I like that idea because it's like, oh, so, like, how's your uncle doing? Like, I'm surprised he's still kicking all that stuff and, like...
We need one question a piece or two questions a piece? I forget.
I feel like one is fine.
What are you gonna ask?
I feel like at least one of us should like try and figure out should like ask something about like so what's his artistic vision? What's the message he's like putting into this artwork? Like
right, perfect.
And so the other thing that we know from the article about William is that he was inducted into some sort of academy of something or other.
What, the art of arts?
Like academy of arts, but it doesn't necessarily need to be an arts academy. Maybe he has some sort of other academic credentials from back in the day. Like he was maybe.
Well, you don't decide. Let Danny decide. So what did he do again back in the day? That's your question. What did he? I'm sorry. Wow, yeah. I just got super bossy. Sorry.
Danny, come back. Return to us, Danny.
The pipes are calling. Oh boy, I wonder how many times that's happened to him in his life.
Hello.
Hello.
I've come back at a good time, apparently.
The internet is kind of a series of pipes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I hear.
No, it's a big truck.
Somebody told me once it was like a bunch of cowboys wrangling electrons, and it did not help me understand it better.
Huh. No. That's somehow less helpful.
That's more confusing than
useful. Yeah. Series of tubes, yes. Big truck, okay. Cowboys wrangling electrons is... Like, that's nonsense.
It's too much new information.
Yeah.
like, who are the cowboys?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I get electrons. I understand how they come into play-ish with anything requiring electricity, I assume. But cowboys, what?
I don't know, yeah. See, that's the problem. I don't think anyone ever explained who the cowboys were, so... I guess they just live in the maybe that's what the whirring is inside of your computer when it gets hot. It's the sound of all of their feet shuffling on on the dance floor at a hoedown.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Anyway.
How to wonder where we explain the internet.
It's cowboys all the way down.
So Danny, you are gonna be Betsy.
Okay.
And we are going to be the members of your book club. And we're just, you know, we're chatting before the meeting starts.
Yeah. We decided that, like, you come and, like, check on him, like, your uncle from time to time. You know, make sure he's still kicking.
Okay. This is a Betsy voice. Okay.
Nice.
Oh, piece of hot seat etiquette I forgot is I get to ask you three questions before the timer.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I forgot.
So I guess first question is what kind of books do we read at the book club?
Well, I'm partial to a romance.
No, I'm all steamy, a little bodice ripper. Not too much, not too far. Yeah, but just a little.
I really liked it when we read the story of the history of the Academy of Sciences of Academies and the professors from those academies. It was a great list. I really liked it when we read that one. That was fun to talk about.
Yeah, I think I was sick that week.
I like anything that Oprah recommends. There is Oprah in this universe. Okay. I am playing the part.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oprah confirmed canon for the...
It's a suburban book club. You cannot have it without a mention of Oprah appearing somewhere.
Yeah.
Probably.
I would imagine Oprah would be a constant in the multiverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always popular and successful, but never for the same reason. Okay. So what do I do in the city besides check on my uncle?
Your uncle. Maybe just like a kind of a boring office job.
Maybe an electrician or like an electrician, like electricity researcher.
Ooh, somebody who.
A cowboy.
Writes the. Cowboy.
Yeah.
Who writes all of the manuals for electrical products.
Oh, yes. Ooh. Someone who writes manuals for electrical products and warns them against electric shock or fire.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so something that requires a lot of knowledge but is extremely boring.
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So this book club is my escape from life.
Yes.
Got it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And I last question. Well, I slightly repeat the first question. What book are we discussing today?
Oh God.
Maybe some sort of salacious tell all about a recently repopularized historical artist. So maybe to get the what's a journal? Uh-huh. An artist. So what?
Yeah, I like that. Okay.
The painter and her. Come on. What's a good title for this book? What's a good salacious, pulpy art history biography title?
The Billionaire Painter's Muse.
Okay. Billionaire Painter's Muse.
Okay, yeah.
I found this book wholly unrealistic. I happen to know a painter, and he is nothing like this dashing young person with so many abs and...
So many abs. But it makes the cover art is so delicious.
That scene with all the... Where they paint on each other and just roll around in the paint, and that becomes his most famous work of art. That's ridiculous. 3 minutes are on the clock now, by the way.
Okay.
Well, your uncle is an artist, right? How is the old man doing?
Oh yes, my dear Uncle William. He's getting along. You know, his temper these days is getting a little unbearable, but he always has time for his favorite niece.
Ah, yeah. What kind of art's he doing nowadays? Like, what's like, does he, you know how like the artists in the book have that cool, like, you know, kind of pretentious, but like really cool, like message in his work. Like, what's your uncle's work supposed to say? Like, what's his work communicating?
Lately his work is kind of focused on a lot of self love and body positivity. he did this portrait of himself that. Honestly, if you held the painting up to the man, it's not strictly a one-to-one, let's be polite. But he encourages you to imagine yourself as you want to be and to, you know, to not paint the imperfections of a person, but to paint the inner beauty
on the exterior.
But does he paint the? Is he one of those nude portrait artists?
Oh yes, absolutely. You are naked. But it's not just the nudity. There's also, you know, occasionally like camels, or like you're draped on a chair, or there's a thunderstorm. Really, the nudity is enhanced by the background. It's not to scandalize. It's to draw attention to the rest of the world through your body.
So I was thinking about the book we read, and the first couple of chapters, just the Ab 1 and 2 and 3, those first chapters there, where they were rolling around, but they hadn't discovered paint yet. So what did your uncle do back in the day, if he's a painter now? What did he do before?
Well, you might find this hard to believe, but he actually was a milliner. he made fancy and elaborate hats. It, you know, ironic considering that he doesn't portray hats upon any of his models anymore. I guess that if you're wearing a hat, you're not nude, thus defeating the purpose.
But some would say if you're only wearing a hat, you're kind of more nude.
Yes, it's like jazz, where the nudity is the body part you're not seeing. In this case, the top of the head. Well, have you tried these sandwiches? They're delicious.
Oh, what kind? Is that cucumber and watercress?
Yes.
Oh, I'm allergic to watercress.
Oh. Well, you can have just the bread. It's good bread.
Well, I'll just scrape it off and just the dry. Oh, that's, yeah.
Moist. Two pieces
of bread.
Oh, God.
So. Pod of Wonder, season 7, episode 2.
Yay!
That's how it happens.
That's how we make the magic. Sorry.
I mean, that's what's ending the episode now, so thank you.
You're welcome.
A very deadpan, that's how we make the magic.
You're welcome. This is what I'm here for.
This has been Pot of Wonder. You can find us on Twitter at Pot of Wonder. And you can buy some shirts and hoodies and stuff at society6.com/podofwonder. I'm Danny. You can find me on Twitter at DannyPlaysRPGs, and you can find the games I make at DannyMakesRPGs.itch.io. You can find Morgan on Twitter at MorganTheFay, and you can find him on Instagram at Morgan_the_Fay_. Fay is spelled F-A-E in both cases. Maria and Mike are wisely not on any social media, but Maria would like to let you know that Mike sings obscure opera while they're cooking. And Mike would like to let you know that Maria makes multiple mostly modified cats appear. Whatever that means. Our opening theme is Opening by Komiku, and our closing theme is Still Room on the Night Train by Ketsa. See you next time, Wanderers.